Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Jackie, and you're listening to Just Food Stories, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always find us archived at heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Just Food is a nonprofit organization committed to helping people build community food projects. We know that people all over New York City know that we need to change our food system, and they want to make that change. But so often, people don't even know where to start. So we'd like to take the next half hour to introduce you to some people who have started, taking their passions and skills to bring change. Hopefully their stories will inspire you to create your own Just Food story. So today we're talking about how to make your food project, whether it's a CSA or a farmer's market or a co-op or a mobile market or anything at all that you're doing in your community to link local farms with your neighbors, how to make that project accessible to the whole community, to make sure that everyone in the neighborhood, whether they're old-timers that have been in the neighborhood for a long time, immigrant communities moving to the neighborhood for the first time, or people who, you know, everyday people, every single person in that neighborhood should feel welcomed and be a part of that food project if they want to be. So we've got some great guests here today to help us unpack the mystery of how to make your food project accessible. With me in the studio is Kiana Mickey. Kiana started her journey with Just Food in 2011. She took a community advocacy training course, and the experience inspired her to engage with her community members around the city and the Northeast region to learn more about the Farm Bill and its effect on our daily lives, which is very timely. We'll talk about that soon. And to offer other ways to advocate for a more fair and equitable food system. Kiana joined the staff of Just Food as the CSA program associate last spring. And throughout her career, she has followed her passion to work and volunteer with organizations that are committed to improving lives. She is a steering committee member of NESOG and remains an active volunteer around increasing access to healthy food in communities and other sustainable causes. So thank you so much for joining us here today, Kiana.
Thanks for having me.
And I also want to welcome Jen Whitlin. Did I say your last name correctly?
You did.
Okay, good. Jen is a CSA core group member. She's now entering her third year as a core group member at the Sunset Park CSA in Brooklyn, and she is going into her fourth year as a member of that CSA. She loves spreading the word about the availability of fresh local vegetables in the Sunset Park community and is invested in finding ways to make them accessible to all families regardless of income. She also works, and this is critically important, as a social worker at the Center for Family Life, a program of SCO Family Services in Sunset Park. So I want to thank you both for coming into the studio this morning. I'm really excited to have you both here to talk to.
Thanks. Great to be here.
So, Jen, I'd love to start with you. And I don't even know where to start with you because I feel like your story is so very interesting. But let's start with how you found your CSA in the first place.
Sure. So I am relatively new to Brooklyn. I moved here about 4 years ago, and I got a job as a social worker at the Center for Family Life and learned quickly that there was a CSA in the community through one of my coworkers who was collaborating with the CSA to do outreach to newer immigrant families in the community who might be interested in participating. I had also been a member of a CSA in Boston, where I come from.
Oh, great. So I think what's really interesting, I was really excited that you could make it today because the Sunset Park CSA, which was founded, we were just talking, it was founded about 6 years ago.
Yes.
That CSA is in a very diverse community. Can you describe Sunset Park for us a little bit for folks who've never been there?
Yes, it is an amazing and vibrant community that is made up of many new immigrant families. There's a huge population of folks who come from Mexico and Central and South America, and then there's also a huge Chinese population as well. So it's a really amazing place to work, full of amazing culture and food.
Yeah, it's a great place to go and eat.
Yes, definitely.
And how about the economic diversity of the neighborhood? Is there you know, are people pretty much, is it a largely middle class neighborhood? Is there a lot more of a like kind of richer and poorer kind of divide? What's that like?
I think, well, I mean, the area has been gentrifying a little bit more, but primarily the families who work there, who live and work there, are a very low income. I would say under the poverty level to working class, mm-hmm. and that is primarily who makes up the community.
So bringing a CSA to the community, why is that an important thing to have in the neighborhood? What does that bring to the community that people don't find anyway?
Oh, so many things. The access to fresh food is not large in the neighborhood. I think it's really important to be able to have sources for food that are local, that that the people can connect to. And I think one of the things that's really amazing about what the founding members of our CSA did is that we were able to connect with a farmer who is Mexican. So in that way, many of the lower income families who we work with are from Mexico or nearby, and they have a huge connection to the kind of food that our farmer grows.
That's
and
great.
So I think one of the things that our CSA brings to members is a connection to their cultural and food heritage.
That's so great. It's so nice to have that kind of cultural synergy between the community and the farmer. That's really
awesome. Amazing.
Kiana, I just want to switch to you for a minute, mm-hmm. to give us, because you both personally have been involved in CSA core groups and in doing outreach for CSA in Harlem.
Yes.
And in your role at Just Food, you do a lot of work to increase accessibility, to help people figure out how they can make their CSAs more accessible. So I know, generally, broadly speaking, there's a couple ways that people can make either a CSA or any food project more accessible by to lower income families. They can lower the cost, or they can make it easier to pay, right, in general terms. So can you talk a little bit about how you help food projects to set up those types of frameworks and think through how they're going to make their CSA financially accessible?
Oh, sure. So in my role at Just Food, what I try to do is, and Paula as well, the program manager, we try to talk to each CSA because each neighborhood and community is unique. So the economic landscape can be different, and also trying to figure out how much of the community they're trying to bring in. So we really kind of reach out to them and kind of get a lay of the land of their particular neighborhood in CSA and talk to them a little bit more about the different options that other CSAs have used in the past to really make it successful for the farmer, but as well as the CSA members. So yeah, there's different ways to make CSA accessible. And with Just Food, it's always been a core mission of ours to try to find ways to make it accessible to all. So in terms of like lowering the cost, there's different options like sliding scale, where it works really well in a mixed income community, where you're able to get some members who are able to afford a higher price for that CSA share to kind of help offset some of the costs for lower income families to kind of make it possible.
Mm-hmm.
Other ways, subsidy, we'll probably talk about a little bit more,
mm-hmm.
and scholarships and fundraising to kind of lower the cost for the share. But, you know, it's not always about cost.
Mm-hmm.
And another way that really helps people is making it easy to pay. So some CSAs, they find, whether it's a mix of these different strategies, try to find different ways to kind of make it maybe easier to pay. One way that a lot of CSAs are growing or finding more opportunities is accepting SNAP.
Mm-hmm.
Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as like food stamps.
Right.
So that really helps. So it doesn't lower the cost, but it makes it easier for them to pay in the way that makes sense for them and their families. And I think other ways, too, is flexible payment options. There's a bunch of those. And outreach. I think it's important to find more families so you're able to kind of diversify the mix a little bit more.
Right, because even though cost is a barrier, you know, paying for a whole season up front can be prohibitive for some people. Just the general price tag of CSA, even if it's spread out, can be prohibitive. So all those things that kind of push the price down and then make that flexible payment system available is important. But that's not the only thing that keeps people out of CSA. We were talking before we went on live. Jen, we were talking a little bit about the concept of CSA in general is something that is so foreign to most people, regardless of their background. So how do you overcome that challenge? How do you in your community in Sunset Park explain what CSA is and get people excited about it?
Yeah, I agree. I think the concept of paying everything up front is overwhelming for some people. So we use a lot of the methods that Kiana was just talking about in terms of being able to pay on a weekly basis for some families. But I think that the support of my organization, the Center for Family Life, has really been able to help families understand what a CSA is. And so we just provide those families with an additional level of support. We have meetings with the families, information sessions to go over exactly what it is in Spanish.
So the Center for Family Life has meetings with all the families in the CSA or just your clients who are also members?
Well, it's primarily for the lower income families who are unfamiliar with what a CSA is and how it works and, you know, why it would benefit them. And most of those families who we're working with in our community speak Spanish. So we do have some Spanish information sessions. We also have other information sessions for anyone who would want to be involved in the CSA. But for those families in particular who it's a newer concept and they're not as familiar with how it works and the, you know, just understanding the work shifts and all the different benefits that you can get from the CSA in addition to the vegetables, but the meeting other people in the community and the workshops. So at the Center for Family Life, we've not only done outreach with the families that we work with to teach them about the CSA, but then we help provide another additional level of support by having meetings. We call people each week to remind them to come pick up their share. If something happens and they can't make it, we can sometimes bring their share to our center, keep it for them until they can pick it up the next day. We just try and be really flexible. And overwhelmingly, the response is great. They love the food that they get and are really pleased to be able to have such fresh local vegetables and many things that are natural to them to cook because of their culture.
So that's all awesome. And what I love most about this, or not most, I love everything you're saying, but I think one of the really exciting things underlying that story is that the Center for Family Life is doing so much to support this community food project and to support their community in accessing good food and in making the most of that really good food. How did the partnership, what does it look like, the partnership between the Center for Family Life and the Sunset Park CSA? How do those two entities partner?
Well, we have a committee called the Access Committee that was already in existence when I started working there. And one of the social workers from my program who speaks Spanish was the liaison with the CSA. And that's how I got interested in working on the CSA. Eventually, I went on to then become a core member with the CSA. But through the Access Committee, we would meet regularly to think about different outreach options. And, you know, the Center for Family Life's mission is really to be embedded in the community and to provide the community at all levels with what their needs are. So with that mission in mind. It's very similar to the CSA's mission in trying to reach all different community members. So we talk a lot about how to do outreach in different areas of the community. We're able to do outreach in our school-based programs, and in we have some co-op programs that we talk to about the CSA. And so we really, through all our different programs, try to intersect with different segments of the community.
That's so great. We have so much more to talk about, but we're going to take a quick break right now. And we'll be right back with Just Food Stories on Heritage Radio Network.
You don't have to cry no more. You don't have to sigh no more. All you got to do is let me love you, baby, and I'll make everything all right. Oh, yes, I will. You don't have to love, you know. To make him understand, all you got to do is let me love you, baby, and I'll make everything all right. Oh, yes, I will.
The following is an actor reading an actual customer email from Heritage Foods USA.
My family and I enjoyed the Heritage turkey. It was far superior to the regular mass-produced turkeys in terms of flavor and texture. Absolutely delicious and worth the difference in price. We will never go back to the regular turkeys. It made our holidays more enjoyable. Thank you, Heritage Foods USA.
Heritage Foods USA hopes you had a great holiday season. For more specials on pork, beef, and other meats, visit www.heritagefoodsusa.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jackie, and you're listening to Just Food Stories on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We're here with Jen Whitland and Kiana Mickey. I can't believe I just said your name wrong. I've known you for years. We're talking about accessibility and how to make your food project accessible. We're talking specifically about CSAs, but these are really lessons that I think can be applied much more broadly in terms of how do you do outreach and how do you make a whole community feel like your food project is there for the whole community and not just for a small and select group of people. One of the things that we were talking about while we were on break here in the studio was some of the really amazing ways that the CSA that you're a part of, Jen, in Sunset Park, has kind of shared or worked really hard to make the CSA financially accessible. Can you tell me a little bit about that structure that you guys have put in place?
Sure. I think one of the ways in which all of our members in the CSA are really committed to the mission of the CSA in terms of making it accessible to the whole community is that our full-paying members, a portion, in fact, about $46 for each full share price goes into a subsidy fund, and that is one of the things that helps us offset the price of a share for lower income members of the community.
$46. Can you put that in context? How much is the seasonal share at the Sunset Park CSA? Do you know?
So every week share is about $545.
The whole season?
For the whole season.
So
for a full share like that, $46 of that money goes directly into a subsidy fund.
That's a really significant portion of the total cost and a really impressive measure.
It's amazing. And then over and above that, members still decide to donate additional funding to specifically to our subsidy fund.
Wow.
So that's really amazing. We have amazing members.
That you really do.
Great model.
That's so awesome. So I want to talk a little bit more about subsidy programs, because for years, Just Food has partnered with Wholesome Wave. I don't know if our listeners are familiar, but Wholesome Wave is a nonprofit organization that does work nationwide to kind of leverage the buying power of food stamps or SNAP benefits to help people buy more fresh fruits and vegetables. So they have all kinds of matching programs that people can use at farmers markets. But what they've done with Just Food, which is really unique, is a CSA subsidy program. So, Kiana, mm-hmm. you've been you've shouldered the burden of implementing that program. But it's a really amazing program, and our CSAs, the CSAs and Just Foods Network, have been really excited about using it. Can you talk a little bit about the nuts and bolts of how that works?
Sure. Yes. So we partner, we're really lucky, and it's a really great opportunity for Wholesome Wave, because like you said, they work a lot with farmers markets to leverage SNAP dollars at farmers markets. So it's a little different for us with CSA. So it's a really great opportunity to kind of find another outlet and direct market for another opportunity to use SNAP dollars. So really what we do is we work with CSAs, and we create an application for them to figure out and determine their need and what their share cost is and how much we're able to subsidize. We, Jen was saying, that some of the CSAs find additional money. They fundraise on their own, or will get donations to kind of even further subsidize. So some build on the subsidy program that we're able to offer through Wholesome Wave.
So the CSAs that apply for this program, how many CSAs are currently partnered with Just Food through the subsidy program?
Currently, we have 12, and we have an upcoming season coming up. So we always get an increase of CSA sites wanting to tap into the subsidy program. So I'm expecting a little bit more this year.
Great. So the CSAs that are part of that partnership, they apply for money from Just Food.
Yes.
And then the money that they get, they spread it among families in their community?
Yes. They internally determine how many subsidized shares, SNAP shares, that they're able to manage. Because for them, it's there's a little number crunching on their part, and they have to make sure that they have some core group members that can to work on the back end of that. So they let us know what their need is and how many members that they're able to subsidize and what they're asking from us. Mm-hmm. And we try our best to match them. Part of the struggle is, while the grant is amazing from Wholesome Wave, the demand is just way higher.
That's right. Just Food is going to be, for the month of February, Just Food is going to be raising money from other sources as well to create a pot of money that we can distribute to the CSA so that they can offer subsidies. I think we're applying for, I think our fundraising goal is $10,000 from non-Wholesome Wave sources, because we really get more demand than we can respond to. And I just want to go back to Jen. Do you happen to know how many families in Sunset Park were part of the subsidy program last year?
Yes, I do. We had 9 families who benefited from the Wholesome Wave funding. And we select those families based mostly on their use of their SNAP benefits to pay for their shares.
So that means that every other week they're coming in, they're using SNAP, and then how does that affect the cost of the share for those families? What do they end up paying?
Well, the cost of the share, I'm not sure I can do the math in my head, but basically it ends up that by them being a part of the Wholesome Wave funding program, it's a double value coupon program. So they're paying 50% of what they would have paid, because the grant is paying for half of their share.
Okay.
And depending on what options they choose, if they choose to get fruit or other additional products, which some of which are covered by Wholesome Wave and some not, we divide up their weekly share cost. So it's different for each person.
Oh, okay. That's great. It's nice that you guys give them that much flexibility.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we try to work with the CSAs, since each CSA can have a different share and what they're offering can be a little different outside of just the vegetable share. We try to really work with the CSA to kind of match what the other additional products that the CSA wants to offer those members, so they don't feel like they're getting isolated and only getting one basic part of a share where other members were getting a little bit more. So for instance, if there's fruit available, we want to be able to also subsidize that as well.
That's great. That's so important that people don't feel like I can do this piece, but all of that is for those other people over
exactly.
there.
Exactly.
I know one of the other things that you guys do that's really inclusive is you talked before about the connection you have with the farm, the connection you have with the farmer. What do you do to build that connection?
Well, the primary way is by taking trips to the farm, and those trips have been the most incredible for me in terms of seeing how the members are able to connect. I mean, it's an amazing process in general for any CSA member to be able to go to the farm and have a connection to their food, the food it's growing, to be a part of actually planting or harvesting the food that you're eventually going to eat. But I think for many of our lower income immigrant families who are members of the CSA, they have joined on the farm trips, and they have spoke about feeling like they're back in Mexico growing up, and it's a chance for them to really teach their kids what it was like for them when they were growing up in Mexico, because many mm-hmm. of them are from more agricultural areas, and you know, they're pulling the weeds, well, edible weeds, alache and there's another one I can't remember the name, but you know, one of the women just was taking all of the Mexican herbs from the farm and cooked this amazing soup for our potluck lunch after our work trip. But to see the connection there was really special. And I love that the members are able to have that experience.
And that connection with the farmer is so important, because the farmer's going an extra mile too when there's these sliding scale and when there's installments, because, you know, most CSA farmers would get their whole payment up front. But the farmers are also invested in making their CSAs accessible, and in spreading out the payment plans means that they're really sharing in that in the work of making that CSA accessible. So that relationship is important on both ends.
And MimoMex Farm has been incredible. I mean, they're so flexible, and you know, I think we all consider each other extended family to some extent, and it's really important to the farmer that we are able to offer this kind of flexibility to many of the immigrant families in the community.
That's wonderful. Well, I think that that's we're getting to just about the end of this, but I was just wondering, Kiana, if there's one more story you can share about the impact that you've seen this subsidy program have on some of the CSAs or CSA members that we have been able to include in CSA through this subsidy program.
Oh, sure. During the season, what we try to do in order to find different ways to share more stories. And I think it's really important to hear some of these personal stories from members that are benefiting from the CSA as well as the subsidy program. So we did a little story banking project, and we went to Sunset Park, and we also went to Crown Heights CSA. And for me personally, it was really amazing to talk to the members and just hear how connected and how much they value their CSA share, and how appreciative they are that they're a part of their community, that they're a part of the CSA community and as well as their neighborhood, and that they get the connection between this local healthy food and the value, and not just the cost, but the value of good food in their neighborhood, and that they're able to participate and, you know, extend this to their family. It was really amazing, because for me, it's very easy to kind of get caught in the numbers of a grant and a program mm-hmm. and, you know, making sure that, everyone's hitting their deadlines. And I also, you know, try to make sure that the farmers' payments are being made too. But to really connect it to actual families and see the kids and see the mothers who are trying to make it work and will go to other neighborhoods just to join that CSA. They, I mean, without a doubt, every person that we spoke to truly felt a connection to their farmer, felt a connection to their community, and felt really happy about the food that they were getting and how they were able on their budget to still make it happen for their family, that they too were able to get local, well-grown, quality food.
That's what it's all about.
It is.
That's awesome. Kiana, Jen, I want to thank you both so much for the work that you do in your communities to make your food projects accessible to more New Yorkers. And thank you so much for coming today. Listeners, if you'd like to support the subsidy campaign, you can look for Just Food on CrowdRise and support the CSA for Everyone 2014 campaign. That's all the time that we have. But again, thank you so much to Kiana Mickey and Jen Whitland, and of course to Evan DeVito for engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes on Just Food Stories on heritageradionetwork.org and as a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher. Remember, if you have any questions for the program, you can call in live at 718-497-2128. Thanks so much, and see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.